This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Outspoken. Now, Sophie, I know you've had an amazing morning and for a very, very sad reason.
Yeah, well, I was actually so excited because I have got a rare ushi. Now, this is so terribly sad because I did my big shop with Brandon and we always pay for things separately because I'm vegetarian, he's a meat eater, we buy different things for our weekly shop. Anyway, I said to him, make sure that you ask for the ushis when you put your groceries through. Anyway, so we had about 9 of them. I joked that it was for my son, Archie, which is my dog. Anyway, I rushed back to the car. I had to open all of them immediately. So sad.
What are you, like 5? No, I'm just joking. I do the same thing.
Anyway, and I said to Brandon, I think that this is a rare one. It's one of the ones with the glitter on it. Anyway,
can I give context?
Like, bullshit.
Can I give context? I get a frantic call. Oh my God, I think I've got one of those valuable ushis that are worth $10,000. I said, calm down. What is the ushi? Can you send it to me? It's one of those glittery ones. And I was sort of like, what an idiot. Then I realized that I owned a glittery one too. And suddenly I was like so involved in this conversation.
Now, as you do, Amy, you jumped on Marketplace. Now, apparently these glittery ushis or eBay are only worth about $30 to $40.
Mm. Oh, that's
but
not too bad.
I have to say, I think that the value is extended if you have them in a whole catalogue. So I think that the three of us should team up and make the best collection. We've already got 2 glittery ones. This could be worth a lot.
Now, is this like bulk buying on a different level? This is like not pandemic bulk buying, but this is ushi bulk buying. Can I just say, I just had this thought. I just cannot believe we're 31-year-olds talking about collecting ushis.
I need a kid to pretend it's for the kid. I feel like it's competition season because Monopoly McDonald's is also back. And I feel like it's a tactic of them to do it because...
Of course it's a tactic.
No, but I'm saying they always do it when spring is about to start because it's
to diet.
It's the time when people don't want to be eating that crap.
Well, I want to hear if anyone else is in their late 20s or early 30s or 40s or whatever and you don't have kids and you're collecting ushis. We want to hear. So go to our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community, and tell us if you're collecting ushis.
Can you also add if you are incredibly embarrassed to be asking for these, because I think it's awkward where you've got to show your receipt.
Just before we get into the main topic, there was a little bit of confusion. Some people were asking us whose voice is whose voice, and I don't really know how to say this is Amy's voice.
So I think that you apparently have the kind of middle of the range in the deep category. Is that right?
Voice.
Someone said she had the deepest, so I don't
really
know.
Okay. And then this is Kate. So I don't know. My voice hasn't been professionally trained, which is what Amy and Sophie like to tell me all the time. So I don't get to read the intros out very much.
Wow, that was a burn.
This is my voice. This is Sophie. I don't know.
I think your voice is the deepest.
Mm. It's probably deep at the moment because we've had a bit of an argument before we got into this. But I think something that will help people be able to tell us apart is we're actually going to be putting together a video about how to make a podcast, and we're going to be putting that on YouTube. So I suppose you'll be able to put a face to the voice.
That's hopefully not going to help people when they listen to the podcast, but
They might feel like they know us a bit more. I don't know.
All right. Well, now hopefully everyone's got the voices down packed. We'll get into the first topic. Abby Chatfield's Facebook group is the latest group to implode. The It's A Lot podcast group was archived this week following backlash from Abby's listeners. Sophie, for those who aren't across the drama, can you tell me exactly what happened?
Well, just 2 weeks ago, Abby told her 23,000 followers in the It's A Lot podcast group that she would be changing the Facebook group to purely a group that discusses the podcast. So we actually spoke about this on our podcast 2 weeks ago. We will put it in the show notes if you want to have a look. So what has happened since is Abby has appeared on Flex Mommy's podcast, which is called Whatever I Want Podcast. And basically, she was talking about the decision to put parameters in the group. So it has imploded.
Well, it's safe to say there were members of that group who took offense to some of the comments that were made. I think first we should go through what was actually said.
Yeah, there was quite a lot of backlash, which then resulted in the group to be archived, which basically means no one can post anything, comment, like, but the posts can still be viewed that were previously written.
So basically the same thing that happened to Shameless's podcast group.
Yeah, that's exactly right. There has been a huge amount of backlash, particularly on the episode thread where Abby was talking about her episode with Flex. So on the thread, people basically accused Abby of trash talking the listeners, and they were saying that they were very annoyed that she said that critical thinkers are usually very angry and defensive. Now, to Abby's credit, we're going to play exactly what she said about critical thinkers now.
And the issue that I find as well is that the people who are the critical thinkers then get overly angry and defensive, and then they are like, why don't you think like this? And while I may agree with their point, I can't go in and then just block someone who has a different opinion to you. I can't just delete everyone, because then it becomes an echo chamber. And then what are we doing? We're yelling at each other about the same thing. And there's no discussion happening. And
to be honest, I think she raised quite a valid point with this, and one that we're seeing with a lot of groups. Aren't these groups there so that people can be educated and people can share their different opinions?
Yeah, and I don't think Abby was saying that she doesn't like critical thinkers. There were a lot of critical thinkers in that group that make some amazing points, but it's just the way that some of them then react if people do not agree with their point of view, which we have seen now, because Abby has stood up and sort of said what she actually really thought of the group. And then it has coincided with complete backlash and people turning on her.
And that's exactly what we said in our episode the other week, that Abby's in a strange predicament, because if she is to go in and police the group, people are going to turn against her. And she has made her feelings clear on this podcast. And that's exactly what people have done.
There was also criticism around the fact that people are saying that Abby is not an intersectional feminist and that she was trying to silence women of color. Now, I found this actually ridiculous, because we've got to put it into perspective. Abby is a 25-year-old woman that was on The Bachelorette. Yes, she was very woke for being a Bachelor contestant, but I just feel like there's so much pressure on her, as she also said on the podcast, to be perfect.
Why are we expecting so much from these people? It's just making influencers or people in the public eye not want to stand for anything at the moment, because it appears if you stand for something, you're going to be dragged down for every single issue.
Also, the validity of any of the amazing commentary Abby has made about the feminism movement, all rubbished because, oh, she's wearing a boohoo dress. That's what annoys me in this day and age, is that people are just so willing to tear one another down, and they're not actually willing to praise people who are trying to make a difference. And in one particular area, you have to be an expert on everything,
but
or you'll
be
criticized.
I think it's impossible to be across every single issue these days. And I'd like to see some of these individuals in this group who are throwing absolute shade at Abby. I'd like to see them start their own podcast. I'd like to see them put themselves out there instead of hiding behind their keyboards and acting like they're being experts on everything.
We actually had a listener in our group make some very valid points. Now, he was discussing the fact that a lot of these podcasts come out and they're kind of, you know, shameless. They're focused on pop culture, or Abby's focused on feminism and sex. And basically, as the podcast evolves and the community gets bigger, they start wanting to discuss bigger topics that are obviously going to create discussion, and sometimes they're going to create controversy. And unfortunately, as we are all humans, our opinions are not going to match up with each other. So what do you guys think? Do you think that people should be shying away from these discussions and kind of sticking to their lane? Or
no.
Should we be allowing these discussions to be had? But do we then need to make sure that we moderate them properly?
I think people just need to calm down. I think that people need to realize that everyone's got a different opinion. And just because you don't agree with someone's opinion doesn't mean that's the wrong opinion. That's just their opinion. And also, people should be able to have a fair discussion.
Yeah, I mean, I did agree with what Flex was saying, that she was kind of having an internal discussion whether she should be moderating it and who is she to set the tone of what is appropriate and inappropriate. And I could not agree more. It is really hard, because there are people that have had lived experiences that are going to be able to talk on a completely different level to what you may be talking about. And it's really sad that these conversations then cannot happen because people are getting too aggressive in the community.
I think we also, like, whenever we're speaking in one of these groups, we should remember that there is a real person on the other end of that keyboard. Like, would some of these people ever speak to someone in real life like that? For instance, not even just to a community member, but if one of these people were to see Abby in real life, would they be so vocal and aggressive to her as they are being on this group?
Also, I mean, I was a part of that group and I ended up leaving it because I couldn't stand to read some of the commentary and the arguments and bullying that were going on. So I just left, and Abby made the perfect point. If you're unhappy in the group, just leave it. If it's causing you so much unhappiness, I think that that's what people should do. If it's a negative space, then leave the group.
Well, I think that's what a lot of listeners found offense to, the fact that she was saying that she wished she could leave the group. And I feel like some people maybe thought she was trying to shirk responsibility for moderating that group. And it's quite an interesting thing to analyze, which we were discussing, because obviously they spoke about the fact that Shameless kind of almost over moderated to the sense that people were saying, hey, this is not right. All our comments are getting deleted. Mm. Whereas Flex's group, they say they've just said, look, you guys are adults, you have your discussions. And I think Abby was very torn about what to do. And then it seems like she has tried to delete comments, and then that's created controversy. So I can see both sides. I mean, if in a couple of podcasts ago, Sophie and I were discussing how we were quite active members on the Dean Geyer forum. And I can imagine if Dean Geyer came out and said something negative about that space, we'd be like quite offended. So I can see why people are offended a little bit. But then I think Abby was well in her rights. It's her space that she's created.
I think the thing is, I feel like a lot of people in this community would look at Abby as being their friend. So yeah. I suppose you can kind of see that her talking to Flex in such a way about the community, it would be quite personal if you were part of it. But I do think that there are a lot of amazing people that are in that community, and they shouldn't all be grouped together. But it's quite funny because maybe the ones who are being most vocal about it do feel a little bit guilty about their participation in it, and might have been the ones that were causing trouble. They're the ones that might have taken the great offense.
Yeah, well, I think Flex made a really good point in the podcast, which we're going to insert here, where she spoke about that personal nature that podcasts seem to build between the listener and the podcaster.
Well, I guess it's also because, and I forget this sometimes, but there might be like 20 or so individual people who follow us that we can like recognize by username and face, and we can DM them back and forth, and there's a relationship. But for the most part, when we're publishing information, everyone thinks it's for them. They listen to the podcast, we're speaking right to them, it feels very personal. And as they learn things about us, they build an allegiance. Like, that's my bitch, Abby's got me. You know, she sees some fuck shit, she's gonna handle it for me. And it might feel that way, but it's not that way in reality. And I feel a sense of entitlement in the group because hierarchies create themselves in Facebook groups based on who posts the most often.
Yes.
You know, people who just love to post for posting's sake, and everyone knows their name. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows, like, that's the person who'll call you out. That's the person who posts about relationships. Oh, yeah, we know about her job update. There are people who've gained social clout from being active posters.
Yep.
And that social clout gives them authority because people look to them. Okay, Bebo and Flex won't say anything, but so-and-so will. Why don't we ask them? And so you see the way people want to demand and justify the power they have within those group dynamics.
I just felt like she summarized it so well when she was talking about this social clout that people get in the group, because essentially she was explaining how her and Bobo, they actually don't moderate in the group at all. And it seems to be that the people that post the most and are well known in the group, they kind of then set the tone. So it's kind of like Flex and Bobo don't actually own that group anymore. And I think that was happening in Abby's group. Even she was feeling intimidated to share her opinion because there were figures in that group that were setting the tone. And Abby explained herself that sometimes if someone that posted a lot in her group posted, she could even predict how the conversation would go because it was just based on whatever they wanted. And if anyone dared to even say, oh, I'm nervous to say this, but have you looked at it this way? They would get completely torn to shreds.
Well, from a PR perspective, I actually think it's a good move from Abby. I mean, we did have a little bit of a debate whether Shameless did the right thing but by closing down their group. And it actually seems like it has been a positive thing because I've heard lots of commentary in recent times about how much people are enjoying Shameless because they don't associate the toxic Facebook group that once was the Shameless podcast group with the podcast itself. And I feel like maybe people were associating the toxic nature of Abby's group with her podcast too and with Abby as an influencer.
Well, I've got to say, I haven't been listening to Abby's podcast as much because I still followed the group. I was still a part of it. I know you guys left it, but I think that could have subconsciously been a reason why I wasn't tuning in.
But also going back to your comments on Shameless, Amy, I think that Shameless were being swayed by people's commentary in that group as well, and they were too afraid to be saying their own opinion, which again has been happening with Abby, as you were saying. So I think it is a really positive move for them to do it. I mean, it makes us reflect on our own Facebook community. I think we've got over 500 people in there at the moment, and because it is a smaller community, it's such a beautiful vibe in there, and they're such lovely people. And I think that all of this happening, it really makes us want to make sure that we continue that. And I think the way to do that is by only
allowing people who are actually interested in your podcast to be in there.
That's really hard though when it gets past 10,000. I think that's what Abby and the Shameless Girls were saying was the kind of point where things turned bad.
But as, I mean, Flex pointed that out on her podcast, she was saying the issue that happened with her group as well is that people who didn't listen to her podcast heard about the group, heard about the funny chats, and they wanted to join. So I think that in that sense, that common ground of liking the same thing was gone.
One thing I found really interesting was this concept Flex brought up, and it's called baby wokeness. Now, I'll just play a clip of what she said about it because she articulated it so well.
Like, I know that, like, people say the N-word. And I've grown past it. Mm. So I feel like there's this, like, baby woke. Which is, like, very, like, pointy and, like, it needs to be fixed today. Like, find all the racists, kill them today is, like, baby woke.
Well, I really couldn't have agreed more with her definition on this, and I thought it was articulated so well. And I think that, you know, I personally have been seeing quite a performative nature from people in that group. I think that people are getting clout from being so socially aware and so socially outraged by certain things.
It's trendy. It's trendy in 2020 to be woke.
And that's what Abby also said. She said, I'm pretty far left wing, but there have been things that I see that I think are not productive either. And I think it's also performative, and I think it's often people in a position of privilege posting these to say, I'm actually a good one. And I think that also summarized it so well, because I know for one, sometimes I get worried to say things even on this podcast, because I feel like there are people out there that are listening to try and trip you up and to say that you aren't woke enough to be talking about that, or because you said this, you can't agree with that.
I mean, if you look at our reviews, I think the term white feminist has been thrown around a lot to describe us, which
it's been used to describe Abby as well. It's ridiculous. And the people that are using it, I feel like saying, you've probably just learnt this term last week.
And I think we need to remember that we're all pretty much on the same page. You know, we might not all be as educated on all of these topics, but I think that you've got to give people some slack. People are all trying their best. We all can't be perfect.
And how, by bullying someone that isn't as educated on a topic, how is that going to make them want to learn more about it? It's actually going to do the opposite, and it's going to make them feel more valid in their view that's probably not correct.
And I'm pretty sure if we dug into everybody's life, people would be doing stuff that they weren't aware of. You know, people who've got Kmart furniture in their house, as Abby said, who are preaching about people wearing boohoo. There are things that everyone could improve on, but it doesn't mean that your opinion on a topic is less valid.
Well, no one's perfect. And I think it feels like a lot of the commentary in these groups are saying that everyone must be perfect. And if they are not, we're going to pick everything apart that they do.
It's a complete headfuck. I feel so sorry for Abby. It's a complete headfuck what she's gone through.
I think as well, it's really interesting because, you know, we spoke about in our previous episode about that, how Facebook wanted to grow this sense of community.
Mm.
Now, this sense of community is not a community to me. This is a destructive group that is turning on one another. Like,
on the person that they all came about and joined in because they liked her, they've now turned on the person that created the group. It's funny though, because a lot of these things seem to be happening to podcast group where discussion is promoted.
Mm.
But there is a podcast group, The Life Uncut, and I don't think they're having the same issues. Now, I don't know. It would be interesting to know how they're choosing to moderate the conversations within that group. But I was also thinking, is it an age thing? Because I know with Laura and Brittany, they're in their 30s. And I also am a part of that group. And it seems like there is a more mature audience in there.
But do you think it's also, as one of our community members said, that because they're not setting the tone of talking about controversial issues, that's why it's not happening?
I 100% think that that's what it is. Their topics are almost safe in a way. They're about relationships. And they're always sort of the good guys in the conversation. So I feel like they've created this amazing sense of community in their group. But if they were to start discussing controversial things, I could see the tone completely changing. And you know what? The people in the Abby Chatfield group are going to be seeking out a new group to talk in. So it'll be interesting to see where they do go.
Well, my prediction is on the Bobo and Flex group because it's unmoderated. Mm. There's a lot of people in there.
I feel like it's important to say, though, I don't think that everyone in that group is a troublemaker and should be sort of painted with the same brush. You guys were part of the group. There are some really nice people.
And I think that's what people took offense to. When they heard the podcast, they were assuming that she was talking directly to them and that they were the problem. When there were a lot of critical thinkers in that group who were kind to others.
Obviously, when you're Geordie and you're getting ready, you do put a lot of effort in. So for me, that is getting a shower, that is getting tanned, that is putting bronzer on.
With summer just around the corner, fitness influencer Steph Packer decided it was the perfect time to launch a melanin-boosting tanning oil. The post was met with approval from a range of well-known influencers, despite recent moves to educate women on the dangers of skin cancer. In the past few years, social media has been used as a tool to change millennials and Gen Zers' perceptions on a tan being healthy, with campaigns like I Pledge and Call Time on Melanoma. Yet, with no bans currently on tanning oils and melanin-producing agents, what can we do to stop the ignorant and dangerous messages continuing to fill our feed this summer? Soph, can you tell us first just who is Steph Packer?
Yeah, well, Steph is a fitness influencer, and it surprised me to see she actually has over 891,000 followers because I hadn't heard about her before.
Yeah, I didn't know who she was either, to be honest.
And we did a little bit of digging. We had a look at some of the content that she's been putting out, and she has been known to promote plastic surgery abroad. She's been very vocal on talking about her nose job that she got overseas, as well as breast implants.
So is that plastic surgery, as you said, she's got herself and then has done like a vlog about how she's gotten it done?
Well, yeah, so she doesn't actually have a YouTube channel, but if you type her name into YouTube, a number of videos come up where she is the ambassador for companies, I suppose, that are promoting travel to places like Phuket for breast augmentation and nose jobs and that kind of thing. So she has detailed her experience through these companies.
Now, Steph took to her Instagram last week to announce to her followers that she is launching a new company called The Skin. Now, what is most disturbing about this, and you touched on it in the intro, Amy, is that she is promoting a melanin-boosting tanning oil. She had the caption on her Instagram, 2020 has been a whirlwind, but what doesn't challenge you doesn't change you. So excited for what's to come, and tagged at Skinco. This was met by influencers like Sky Wheatley and Lexi Murray leaving very, very positive comments like yes and praising hands. This is deeply disturbing that these influencers are happy to sit by and have her promote this product that is so dangerous and harmful for women.
Well, not only did they leave glowing comments on the new Instagram account, they also shared Steph's Insta story. So influencers like Talia Skanes shared it to her over 500,000 followers. I did a little calculation, and this post was shared to over 1.5 million people just from her influencer friends sharing it. Yet, surprisingly, the page only has about 200 followers.
Oh, wow. Well, it's the most disturbing thing is those sorts of influencers have such young and impressionable followers that probably think, oh, this is a really good thing for me to purchase.
I think the messaging that I found most troubling was the fact that she's saying coming right in time for summer 2020. At the moment, we've seen such great campaigns talking about the dangers of skin cancer, but then these people are seeming so ignorant and dumb to say, oh, let's get our bodies tanned for summer.
So just to explain for those who might not understand what this product is supposed to do, it boosts the melanin in the skin. So melanin is actually a pigment or color in a person's skin, hair, and eyes. So in general, people who have darker skin tones actually have more melanin than those with lighter skin tones. So essentially, a person's genetics determines their skin color and melanin levels.
And the thing is, there is so much confusion around the use of these melanin boosters because a lot of the companies actually are promoting that melanin is, you know, oh, it's a natural skin protector and, you know, it's protecting against UV. And that's actually not true because if you're using an oil, it's counteracting the protection this melanin is giving you. It's just burning you. And the FDA have come out and said there is no research to prove that foods or supplements can increase a person's melanin levels. So if you're buying this product, you're essentially just buying an oil and you're thinking that it's protecting your skin and it's not.
Well, it's just attracting the sun to then damage your skin.
Exactly.
Well, one professor explained it really well. He said you have two opposing things happening at the same time. So melanin is protecting you and then melanin is damaging you. So there's a race going on between melanin blocking and protecting you. So overall, it is causing sun damage and leading to lesions that can potentially turn into mutations, then thus causing, obviously, melanoma.
Well, the scariest thing is the power of Steph Packer. I mean, we've all said we haven't heard of her before, but she is incredibly influential.
Just her powerful friends, it has infiltrated my newsfeed because I do follow people like Talia Skanes and Sky Wheatley. So even though we might not know of her, she has a powerful network that means actually heard about it legitimately.
But she is quite powerful in her own sense, Amy, as you were.
Yeah, she is extremely powerful. I mean, she's got over 800,000 followers, but she also recently did a collab with Stax, which is an activewear line, and they released these bike shorts These bike shorts, which were in collaboration with Steph, sold out in 30 minutes and made the company $250,000. So I feel like, looking at how powerful she is, if she's pushing this product, how quickly is this tanning product going to sell? And how many people are going to expose themselves to dangerous UV rays because of it?
I think it is incredibly frightening that someone as ignorant as this has a platform that large and is using it in this negative way. Because if you look at how influential influencers are to young people, why can't they be doing some good and promoting sun safety? I mean, it is disgusting that this woman is purely trying to make money off something that's going to harm so many young women.
Well, exactly. Do you think Stax should pull their advertising dollars from an influencer like Steph Packer?
Well, it's a really hard one, because I think that if we take a look at the current rules regarding sun tanning and promotion of sun tanning, there aren't hard and fast rules. To be truthful, in doing research for this topic, I found it so difficult to actually find what the rules are.
Yeah, but
so,
even if there aren't rules, what about the morals of it? If I was a company, I don't want to be giving this person money for promoting my product when they're selling this disgusting product to young, impressionable people.
I think the issue is there's so much confusion around what is a safe suntan. I mean, I remember seeing...
No tan, basically.
Well, yes, but I remember seeing Skye Wheatley saying, oh, look at how tanned I... So she posted a picture of herself looking extremely tanned back in summer, and she goes, oh, I'm gonna try and get to this level, but don't worry guys, I'm gonna use sun cream. It seems to be that people think that if they tan in sun cream, then they're going to be somehow protected from getting skin cancer, which is completely untrue. Of course sun cream is there to protect your skin, but if you are continuously sunbaking to the point where your melanin is so dark in your skin, that means it's damaged. That means that things are starting to happen.
I think we should probably, before we go on, take a look at what the rules are. As I said, it was very, very difficult to find a hard and fast rules in regards to this. So I took a look at the social media ad standards, and it outlined rules in regards to alcohol, food and beverage, advertising to kids, gambling, nudity, violence, and health and safety. So sun safety doesn't have its own regulation, but it falls into the category of health and safety. So basically, I found a number of different case studies where they were talking about complaints consumers had made about certain adverts for tanning products that had gone online. So I took a look online at some of the examples where consumers had made complaints about particular tanning products or even phrases used in marketing. And it stated that encouraging someone to get a tan is against prevailing community standards on health and safety. So it's quite a broad guideline.
The thing is, I don't think the rules have really caught up with the technology. There aren't specific rules stating on social media you can or cannot do this. It's very broad, as you said, which causes a lot of confusion.
And there's no fines being handed out for anything. So people are just getting away with murder.
Yeah. And while this is incredibly disappointing to see this post by Steph, I think what has been so encouraging is in the past few years, we have seen a savvier audience who are picking up on these disgusting messages.
And I suppose savvier influencers as well.
That's right. I mean, you know, even when you reflect on sun safety at a young age, I suppose growing up in Australia, we were always told to slip, slop, slap.
And rap.
And rap. But then as a teenager, I feel like we were teenagers in the early 2000s. As a teenager, it seemed very uncool to wear sun cream. Like, I even remember at school, mum would force us to put sun cream on in year 8. And I remember standing in the locker room and someone's like, who smells like sun cream? And it was like embarrassing to be wearing sun cream.
And I also remember being that teenager that actually would then, like if we went overseas on holiday, I remember tanning several times, and now it actually makes me feel sick thinking about it. Even though you knew deep down about sun safety, there was still that thing where, oh, this is okay because I'm only tanning on a holiday.
Yeah, well, as you said, Sophie, it's now kind of become trendy to wear sun cream because a lot of influencers have included wearing sun cream in their beauty routines. And also there's been some amazing work from influencers like Courtney Magnan who have shone a light on just how important it is to wear sun cream when you're out in public.
Well, for those who don't know, Courtney Magnan has been very open and honest about her journey with stage 4 melanoma, and she actually went into detail last week about everything to do with that journey on her podcast She Was the Fire. So we're going to add that to the show notes because I highly recommend listening to that.
There's also been great movements from Shameless called I Pledge, and also movements like Call Time on Melanoma, which have been so influential in making women really change their perspective on a tan being considered healthy.
Well, what does everyone think? Do you think that people should be embracing their natural skin?
I think it's really tough for people to just all of a sudden embrace their natural skin because there have been so many years where we've been consuming that tan skin is the skin that everyone wants and is the healthy and beautiful skin. I mean, I know myself, now that it's getting warmer, I feel an urge to start fake tanning more often.
Another interesting concept about that, though, is how these products like tan or even sun cream are being marketed towards us because it is all based on our desire to still be beautiful. If you look at sun cream, it's marketed in a way where it's preventing age spots and fine lines and wrinkles, but it's not actually saying, hey, this is sun safety.
Well, I think that's good.
Yeah, I think it's clever to do that because obviously a lot of the stuff about tanning is coming from a place of vanity.
But if you look at it, because it's so hard in regards to your question, Amy, about pale skin, I suppose it's so ingrained in our ideology that it's beautiful to have tan skin. It's slimming to have tan skin.
Yeah, but do you know what? I mean, how many products have influencers made cool that you would probably look at before and go, that's really ugly? Well, I'd be really interested to see if a lot of the big name influencers hopped on and embraced their natural skin, whether people would do so, because there are so many products that influencers have spruiked recently that are pretty ugly clothing and they sell out.
Well, look at Shani Grimmon promoting dissolving her lip filler and everyone's come out and said, oh my gosh, I prefer you natural. Mm-hmm. Imagine if people were then promoting, you know, this is my skin normally.
The whole issue though is that the whole beauty industry is based around telling us we're not good enough as we are. So they're not going to say, oh, you're good with the skin that you have. We're constantly being told we need to purchase something to make us better.
Well, that reminds me because a couple of years ago when we visited Singapore, I was actually trying to find some fake tan and I went into one of the chemists and it was literally the opposite. It was bleaching agent for your skin to make your skin whiter. And it's sort of the complete opposite because a lot of people in Singapore and Malaysia have beautifully tanned skin. But it's seen as culturally, like if you have lighter skin, like you're more of the Chinese culture, then you're considered rich.
Well, back in the day, people with pale skin were seen as being wealthy because they were inside and everyone who was outside with tan skin were laborers. So it was actually more desirable to have pale skin.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it actually goes back to that.
Now, on a different note, I suppose while women seem to be gradually becoming more educated on this topic, I think it's really worrying because I feel like men are being left behind.
I know, because like I'll say to Reese, can you put some sun cream on? And like even with Dad. And men are just so anti putting sun cream on. I feel like they don't need it.
They just don't want to be uncomfortable as well. I suppose as women, we're used to putting on all these potions and different things.
Oh my God, they should try being a girl for a day. A bit of sun cream is nothing.
But what do you guys think about? Do you think that we should be promoting more men to wear fake tan and it to be acceptable?
Well, I have to admit, I did see Kira Maguire. She put a video up on her Instagram of her boyfriend, Matt from Love Island, and he was using her fake tan. And I did naturally go, oh my God, like, you know, a guy wearing fake tan. And I thought, no, that's so bad of me because they should be wearing fake tan.
Hang on, but aren't we contradicting ourselves? We were just saying that people should embrace their natural skin. Well, are we then creating a cycle for men that,
not saying that they can't embrace a natural skin, but if you're a man and you actually just want to be tanned, rather than burning yourself and giving yourself melanoma, why don't you just put on a fake tan?
But that's the whole argument though. I don't think that we as a society who are so obsessed with appearance, I don't think we are just going to accept our pale skin. I think we're going to want to use things like fake tan to get that look, but in a safe way.
The thing is, I don't feel like there is an immense pressure on men to have a tan as much as there is on women. Like, think about it. When you are getting ready to, say, go to a wedding, the first thing I think is, okay, well, 2 days out, I need to do my fake tan. The brides are getting fake tan. But I don't think necessarily men are thinking, well, obviously because they're more covered up.
I don't think that's true at all. I think there are pressures for young boys to be tanned. I mean, if you go down to the beach and you're very pale, boys pay each other out for that kind of stuff. I've heard young boys talking and they are concerned about whether they're tanned or not. But I don't know if any of them would actually feel brave enough to get a fake tan for fear of being paid out.
Do you know what though? I think that in places like England and in Europe, it is more acceptable for men to wear makeup and fake tan. You look at the guys off Geordie Shore, and that was probably like 7 years ago now. They were all rocking the fake tan.
They were solarium tans, which of course have been banned now.
Well, I actually think it would be really beneficial for somebody to create a male tanning product, but get some really strong athletic men behind it, you know, like a footballer or something. That
Honey,
you know,
badger.
Yeah, the honey badger. Somebody honey like skin. Somebody like that who you wouldn't actually think would wear fake tan.
Well, there are actually a number of fake tans on the market for men, predominantly in the UK, which is really interesting. It will be interesting to take a look at their marketing. But I think the thing that we really need to, if I was producing a tan, tanning product for men. I think it needs to be low maintenance. For me, I fake tan every week, and I don't think my boyfriend could put up with the constant exfoliation of the skin and the constant maintenance.
I feel like if there is a low maintenance tan, can I please have it as well? Because I cannot keep up with that either.
Do you know what? I reckon maybe like a body butter that did a gradual tan would be really good for men, because then they could start wearing it in spring, and then when they go to the beach.
Men don't moisturize though.
Some men do.
I think maybe a spray tan. I think that's probably the easiest thing
for
men.
But what about their face?
Yeah, you can spray tan a face.
Yeah, but that's what looks weird. What? If you're all one color.
Well, we would love to hear what you guys think about the topic. Please head to our Facebook group, which is Outspoken the Podcast, and join in on the conversation.
Now, let's get into our influencer wrap, and we'll start it with rumors that are circulating that Shani Grimmon is about to announce her split from former AFL player Tommy Bugg.
I've seen this one coming for a while, especially, I suppose, because she has moved from Melbourne to Brisbane. And I did a bit of scrolling, a bit of stalking. Now, the last post that he uploaded of Shani was in April, and her last post was in May. So there are a number of months that they have not been posting on the feed about one another.
Devil's advocate, that has been during lockdown, and there's not really a lot of photo ops in that time.
Well, I think the biggest alarm bells for this relationship ending would be the fact she's just moved into a new home with her friend Joshua Headley, who appeared in a recent video on Shani's YouTube channel called Meet My Roommate. Let's just say I didn't realize there were rumors going on that they'd split, and I was thinking, I wonder what Tommy thinks of her living with this guy.
Well, she did address it in the video. She said, "Before anyone says anything, we're just friends. We've been friends for a number of years, but I am loving the inclusion of him in her vlogs. It feels very old school Shani at the moment. I'm predicting he will rise in popularity. He has 30,000 followers at the moment. I'm predicting he will be some sort of new Michael Finch character on the show."
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the day that she put the video out with him, he scored 1,719 new followers just on that day. And he's gone up, I think, by 5,000 in a week, which is a big rise on social media.
Well, while stalking out Shani's housemate's Instagram, we did notice a cheeky like from Shani Grimmon's ex, Jonathan Sawyer, who is currently dating Madison Woolley. Now, the photo was of both Josh and Shani. Mm. What do you guys think about that?
God, I would not be happy if I was Madison. This comes off the back of Jonathan releasing a YouTube video where he and Madison were away in Thredbo, and things seemed a bit icy. So
is that a pun? Because they were in Thredbo?
Is it wrong that like some part of me would love Shani and Jonathan to get back together? I preferred the Jonathan with her.
She's going to hook up with this Josh. Let's really? Be honest.
No, yeah. She can't hook up with her roommate. That's just going to be, she's going to have to move again.
Well, do you know what? I'm wondering what this actually means for Tommy's business, because he owns influencer management group Zoots. And Shani is, I would say she was the number one influencer on their book. It also manages influencers like Rani, Michael Finch, Talia Skaines, who were all friends of Shani. So if this is not an amicable split, it could be really bad business for them.
I feel like it could be an amicable split if they have split up, because they are still following each other. Tommy did like her photo 3 days ago. So maybe now they're a little bit older, more mature.
But that's what happened with her split with Jonathan. Remember when they split up, Jonathan was still her manager. Then they got to back together. Then Jonathan was still her manager for a while, and then things got awkward. She needs to stop dating her managers.
Well, she's dating them first and then making them her manager.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is, I'm certain that she's going to announce a split soon, because normally you make sort of changes, like you get a new haircut if you break up. And we got to remember, when she broke up with Jonathan, she got her boobs done, and now she's got her lips dissolved, it seems, after the split from Tommy.
Yeah, there's something not quite right. I will wait with bated breath to see the announcement soon.
It will be interesting to see if it is a whole video like she did with Jonathan, because that attracted a huge, view.
She probably shouldn't bother, because she never had him on her YouTube. Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
It wasn't as public. So I feel like, you know, maybe it won't.
Now, the next one I want to get onto is Talia Skaines' vlog that she released last week. It is actually trending at the moment on YouTube. And the reason I really liked it is because it was actually so real and raw.
Well, she opened up about her issues with her skin. So it was something that we don't really see on Talia's channel. Normally it's about her overseas travel or her glamorous life, but this was where she burst into tears talking about the struggles with her acne, and I thought it was so brave to share.
And I think it's so refreshing, because I suppose we see such a curated and kind of fake side to her. She's always dolled up to the max. She's always looking incredible. And I think it was really good for a follower or someone else who's struggling with their skin to see that this person, who we all deem as being perfect, is having their own internal battles with how they look as well.
It was so relatable.
And I suppose it's someone that's probably known for face tuning and photoshopping her photos. So for her actually to admit, hey, I've got acne, that's a huge step for her.
Well, I really hope that this is a trend for her. I hope we do see some more real and raw videos like this because I'm really enjoying them.
Take this object, but beware, it carries a terrible curse.
Ooh, that's bad.
But it comes with a free Frogut.
That's good.
The Frogut is also cursed.
That's bad.
But you get your choice of topping.
That's good.
The toppings contain potassium benzoate. That's bad.
Can I go now?
Let's get into our reality recommendations. Now, what have you guys been watching this week that you want to recommend?
I started watching 90 Day Fiancé. I'm only a few episodes in, but I remembered why I loved this show so much. It feels like Nine Now have just decided to give us so many good reality TV shows. I really didn't know what to choose from. Because they've also got US Love Island, which I haven't started watching.
Oh my God, I'm watching it. It is so good. I was a little bit put off because people said it wasn't as good as the Australian Love Island. And I thought the Australian Love Island was trash. I can say it's better than the Australian Love Island. It's of course not as good as UK Love Island. But if you're bored,
it's hard when it's perfection.
Yeah,
there.
But I'm actually really enjoying it.
Is anyone else feeling nostalgic and going to go back and watch some Keeping Up with the Kardashians? Because I was really upset to hear that 2021 is going to be the last season.
Look, I'm going to call it. I don't think this is the end of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. They clearly didn't get their contracts renewed. I think that somebody else could pick it up or we'll have a spin-off show from either Khloe or from Kris Jenner or whoever wants to be involved.
Or we'll have a spin-off show when all of the kids are old enough and they're in their teenage years.
That will definitely happen. What about, I'm wondering, because a lot of people are saying that the fact that they shed so much on social media kind of made the show not so popular because it was really outdated once we got to see it. I wonder if they could start vlogging or doing a YouTube series. That would be really cool.
Do you know what? I don't even think they share that much on their Insta stories. It's always really curated pictures.
Well, so it's not so much that, but it's like the paparazzi caught up with them. So we knew all the drama before it was on the show.
Do you know what will be interesting when the show is finally over? Before every series, we always see that push of something dramatic happening. It'll be interesting to see if their lives are a lot quieter now they don't have a TV show.
Well, I'm wondering if they're still going to be relevant and if people are going to buy their products now the show's over, because we've seen YouTubers who bring up products, they suddenly don't post any more content and then people aren't interested in them anymore.
Yeah, but they've got like 40 million followers on their Instagram. I think they're still going to be relevant. They're still going to be influencers at the end of the day.
They're still going to be in the media as well.
Oh, and by the way, Y-O-U apostrophe R-E means you are. Y-O-U-R means your.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. If you have enjoyed it, it would be incredible if you could leave us a rating and a review.
And if you haven't already, we'd love if you could join our Facebook community, which is just Outspoken, the podcast community.